right, let's talk about Fearless Girl. Initially, Fearless Girl was installed on Wall Street, and you got a lot of flack for it to begin with, yes?
It was a mixed review. I think, politically speaking, some people were kind of taken aback by Fearless Girl, but she was placed there in celebration of women and in celebration of International Women's Day 2017. So originally, she was placed at the Bowling Green Park on Wall Street, which is a triangular park. And what we did is we extended that point in order to install Fearless Girl on city property in a statement against the All Boys Club of Wall Street, which the Charging Bull had come to symbolize. And as a statement, again, about the future of women in business and their importance.
So how long was it at that location?
Well, we just moved her. So she was unveiled last Monday at the New York City Stock Exchange and actually removed the week before. So that's almost 2 years, about a year and 8 months, I guess.
Okay. All right. What prompted the move, Kristen?
Well, the primary, let me preface this by saying I created the work. The concept of placing a child in front of the bull is the brainchild of McCann, New York. We had a committee of 30 people, and maybe six of those, including myself, were really involved in the creative aspect of what Fearless Girl would look like, what kind of hairstyle she would have, et cetera. So State Street sponsored our project. They actually own the casting on Wall Street and have been working diligently with the New York City mayor's office regarding her status and her future. So the mayor's office has the final say on where Fearless Girl goes, and the decision was made to remove her from Bowling Green Park for two reasons. One, that park needs a renovation, and the most important issue was because Fearless Girl is on that very narrow point at the end of the park, anybody who's coming and posing with her and getting their photo taken is actually in harm's way because of all the traffic on both sides of the park. So really, the move has to do with safety. It also is an appropriate move because Fearless Girl, although her message is very broad, her roots are in the financial arena. So moving her to the New York City Stock Exchange, which is now being run by a woman, is very appropriate.
All right. Is this a permanent, is this the permanent home for Fearless Girl?
Well, the final say would be the mayor's office. But as I understand it, A, she has achieved a status of permanence, which is rare, if ever, granted to a sculpture. So we're very excited about that. And I do think she will be staying at the New York City Stock Exchange for a very long time.
How long have you been sculpting?
Let's see. It's been about 23 years. I went back to college at Salisbury State in Maryland, and I was a graphic design major. And I took an elective course in clay modeling and dug my hands in clay and changed my major to sculpture. I then, once I finished my BA in art, I went to study lost wax casting at the Johnson Atelier, which is a French word for studio. So the Johnson Atelier Foundry, which is affiliated with the current Grand Tour Sculpture Park in Mercerville, New Jersey. So the foundry's closed, but they were open for 32 years, and it was this wonderful, wonderful place where apprentices from all over the world could come and work every aspect of the lost wax casting process. So typically, if you want to learn the process, you go to a foundry, you're going to be pigeonholed in one aspect of production or the other because it takes a certain amount of time to achieve a skill level at each aspect. But at this place, they kept 60 employees and roughly 20 apprentices, and we could move through the entire process. I had internships in mold making and patina and wax chasing.
Great. This is all great. Yeah. Would you call Kristen Fearless Girl your most major accomplishment in your years of sculpting, or one of the most major?
Well, I think that she's the one that's the famous work that's most well known, that has an impact on society, because she really takes the feminist movement idea of equality and gives it a visual. So because of that, she had a great impact. I have many public works, Alexander Hamilton. I have several nautical pieces in Florida that are really very big and much more detailed than Fearless Girl. I did 10 Hall of Fame football coaches, Ara Parseghian, Paul Brown, who's considered the father of football. That Cradle of Coaches collection of 10 larger-than-life works is in Ohio. So I guess it depends on your perspective as to what is most important. But I think Fearless Girl is the one that's packed the real punch, because she affects all of us.
That's
so
great.
It's a societal work that's really sending an underlying message of collaboration between men and women. So it's not so much, about women getting their just dues or women supporting other women. It's about all of this research that surrounds Fearless Girl that says, hey, men and women, it's been proven by all these studies, are actually much more effective working together. We're a natural and perfect complement to one another. We solve problems differently. Our brains function differently. Men use more gray matter, making them really good at seizing on an opportunity and hyper-focusing. Women use more white brain matter, which makes them, yes, more emotional, but really good at multitasking. They have found that companies that incorporate women have a better work environment, are less litigious, and the final decision that we make when we're working together as genders is much, much more effective and more profitable than those being made by one group of gender versus the other.